I must say that I have a real soft spot for the disciples. That sense of being a kid from the country and your first trip into the big smoke. I remember as a young teenager when we were preparing to go to make our way up to Sydney, you know, the city of sin, the big smoke. And my brothers told me that people in the city do things a bit different to us country kids. And so we had practice sessions walking up and down the hallway, learning how to walk quickly because we didn't want to stand out as country kids. So, you know, my slow walking. So I started to walk quickly, and it's a habit I haven't stopped. And that sense of, you know, going into the city and to seeing all the tall buildings. Again, we stayed in this hotel because my two sisters were training to be nurses at the Mater, and so we stayed in a hotel just behind that. And the hotel had, you know, wonderful views over the harbour and the city. And my brothers, again, told me, you know, don't embarrass us, Rich. You know, when we go in, just pretend this is the normal thing that we do. We go into nice hotels all the time. And instead, I walked in and go, wow, look at this view. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And they were smashing me about the head as my brothers are wont to kind of do. So I feel for this sense of the disciples who see this temple, who see this, the wonders and the splendor of the temple. I think to get a sense of how grand the temple was, it's important to get a sense of, well, what's the proportions of different size buildings. Now, our little church here of St. John's has a footprint of about 400 square meters. Now, who knows what the biggest church in the world is? St. Peter's Basilica, yes, well, it still claims it. The other churches claim to be bigger. But, and again, that remembrance of the first trip to Rome, the friend that I was traveling with made sure that we took the slow train into Rome. We didn't get the express because that goes to Termini. It's a long way from Termini to go into St. Peter's. So we caught the slow train because that stopped at the St. Peter's station. And so we're then able just to walk around the corner. And once we turn that corner and seeing this marvelous, you know, huge basilica. St. Peter's has the square meters of 15,600. So ours is 400. St. Peter's is 15,600 square meters, 1.5 hectares. The Jerusalem Temple, what do you reckon? About the same size as St. Peter's Basilica? A little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, what do you reckon? Who reckons about the same size? This is about 400 square meters. St. Peter's Basilica, 15,600 or 1.5 hectares. The temple compound took up 14.6 hectares. 146,000 square meters. MacArthur Square, the net lettable area, is 107,000 square meters. So it was 1.5 times bigger than, and remember, MacArthur Square is on 2 or 3 levels. So spreading that out over to a single level, we get the sense of the proportion of the temple. 500,000 people could gather at one time within the temple forecourts. So it's no wonder if the country kids coming into Jerusalem for the first time and seeing this marvelous, magnificent, huge building and just going, Jesus, have a look at this thing. Your father's house is pretty big. It's pretty impressive. And what does Jesus say? The time will come when not a single stone in this building will be left standing on top of another. And that, of course, happens under the Emperor Tiberius when he defeats the first major uprising of the Jews since the Maccabean Revolution. And he completely destroys in the year 70, laying siege in July to the city. And then over the next months, indeed, taking that temple building stone by stone down. 46 years it had taken for Herod to rebuild it, to enlarge it, to aggrandize it as much as he had done. And this was all that was left. All we have now is just the foundation stones on the Western Wall, that is the Wailing Wall for the Jewish people. Then the disciples are dumbfounded by this. They're saying, well, when will this happen? What will be the signs? And Jesus lists off a series of signs that we're all too familiar with. Nations will fight against nations, and we see the different changes in the situation of Russia and Ukraine each day. There will be earthquakes, and again, there was another earthquake in Tonga this weekend. There will be signs that there will be warfare, there will be plagues, there will be famines here and there, and we get this new wave of the coronavirus that refuses to go away, and we continue to be bombarded by news of that thing, although we just all ignore it now, and we don't even worry about how many cases are rising. There will be thunder and lightning, and there will be, you know, it's really great when you can orchestrate this, that God, thank you for doing this light show to accompany the homily today. It's really good. And what do we do? Jesus says, well, don't be distracted by any of those things. Don't worry, these things will happen. They will continue to happen as they have happened over the last 2,000 years. All of these signs and wonders will continue to unfold. But what are we to do? We are to do the one and only necessary thing, and that's to talk about Him, to proclaim His name, to speak of the wonder of what He has done in my life. The God has changed me. The God has saved me. That even when I was still a sinner, St. Paul says, He loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the message that we need to focus on. That's the gift that we need to share. Not to be distracted by all the stuff that surrounds us, all of the things that continue to flow around us. We need to bring it back to the center and back to the person of Jesus, and to announce His name and to declare the gift of His love, to bear witness, to bear testimony to the wonders of what God has done in me and through me. As unworthy as I am, as unworthy as most of us feel ourselves to be, but God is still there. And as Malachi tells us today, in that our wonderful first reading, that He's the one who's going to purify us. He will be there as the refiner's fire. He will be there to bring us into that furnace, not to destroy us, but to just to get rid of everything that is not of God, everything that will not allow us to experience that freedom and that grace. Even though we feel ourselves sinners, He's already got that accomplished as well, because He's forgiven our sins. He's taken away our junk, our dross, all the things that are not of God. Let's allow the Lord to continue to refine us so that we can be the ones who bear witness to His name. We don't even have to worry, Jesus says, about what we are to say. He Himself will provide the eloquence to be able to speak when the time comes. So let's rest in that truth, not be distracted by all the stuff around us, but continue to move back to that central place of the gift of God's love, and allow that love to continue to be there within our lives, to be experienced in our lives, so that we can speak of that and share that gift and that grace into the world that surrounds us.